This is Phoenix FM. You're listening to Michelle Ward on Phoenix 98 FM, and I'm joined by Gavin Perrett from Will Protect Limited, and they're based in Chelmsford, and he's here to talk about wills. So if there's any questions you want to get into us, it's radio@phoenixfm.com. And really nice, we've been having a good old chat off air.
We have, haven't we?
Yes, we have. So it's nice to see you in the studio, so thanks very much for coming in. Tell us a little bit about the company, how long you've been involved.
Well, the directors have been working together for over 20 years now. Will Protect itself has been running for 6 years. But the last 20 years, we've been working in the financial planning, financial services industry, and will writing and protecting your assets and protecting your family within that context has formed an essential part of that throughout the whole 20-year period.
How many people don't have wills? So is there a sort of average, if you had 100%, would you say is it more sort of, you know, 50% do and 50% don't?
It's a bit more shocking than that, Michelle. It's actually 70% of the population don't have a will in place.
Oh, my lordy, I wouldn't have thought that. 70%?
And of the 30% that do, the question then to ask is, when was the last time they had that reviewed?
Yes.
Is there a need to update it?
And the thing is with wills, people have this thing of thinking, if I do a will, tomorrow I might get run over by a bus. It's like you're, but it's not. What you're doing is actually protecting the future for people around you.
Exactly.
And because it is a terrible thing. If somebody dies and they don't have a will, it can cause all sorts of problems, especially if you're divorced or you might have split up with somebody but you're still married or you've got children.
You're quite right, Michelle. It's not a self-fulfilling prophecy that the second that we finished writing a will for you that you're going to drop dead.
Yeah.
It's an insurance policy. Mm. It's a form of financial planning. It's something that you can do to give yourself and your family peace of mind. And you're quite right. If you don't make these decisions, if you don't stipulate them in a legal document, then there's no record of that. And there's no, for me, the greatest issue is for young parents. If they've got young children, now we all know that it's very difficult for young couples to get on the property ladder, so not many of them own their own properties. Now, that doesn't mean that they shouldn't have a will in place, because if, you know, God forbid, if anything happens to a young couple and they passed away, then they need to stipulate who they want to look after their children in the event of their death. The system can't make any assumptions regarding who you would wish to care for your children in the event of your death. So, in the situation where parents die without a will, social services don't have any other choice than to place the children into foster care. Whilst an investigation is conducted to ascertain who the most appropriate person or people are to act as long-term guardian.
Hmm.
And, you know, social services and foster parents do an amazing job. But as you can imagine, this could be a particularly unsettling period for the children and the family because of that uncertainty. It's thinking about who you're going to be leaving behind and making sure that their lives are as easy as possible, because they're going to be grieving at that particular point. If you can make some decisions that are put down in a legal document, it just makes the whole grieving process that little bit more straightforward. Writing a will is always on most people's list of things to do, but it gets put to the back off that list again and again. How we operate, we act as a gentle reminder when we first engage with the clients, and we'll remind them if they haven't done that. Normally in the new year here, in January, it's a good time to take a fresh look at these things. And as a result, we've been quite busy this particular month. People just want to get it off the list. They're fed up of me nagging them to get it done. So they just think, let's get it done and Gavin won't keep calling me.
Yeah, just get it out of the way. So what other decisions should we be making in our wills? What other things can we actually put in there?
Well, it's really important to be really specific about how you wish to split your assets, including any properties, your investments, your savings, but also specific items like jewellery, artwork, and other assets with significant sentimental value. This goes a long way to ensuring that there are fewer arguments amongst the family. And notice I said fewer arguments, not none. And it goes a long way to just securing that. Other things, if in the unfortunate circumstance that you wish to exclude a family member from your will, it's really important to document your reasons why. The reason for this, it minimises the chance of a judge contesting the will in the event of a challenge from the excluded family member.
Right.
So you can't just exclude someone. You've got to give the reasons why. You can also decide whether you wish to be buried or cremated, which then obviously takes away that painful decision from your family.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was saying to Gary off air when they said to me, do you want to be buried or cremated? I went, I don't know yet. And then I haven't been back for about 20 years. So therefore, I've probably got to go back and update stuff because I've got little, not expensive bits of jewellery, but I think to myself, oh, Elaine will have, anything happens to me, Elaine can have that. And then I think, well, she won't even know what it is.
Well, some people are quite happy just to leave it to their family to have a bonfire amongst themselves and do that. But one thing I've noticed, Michelle, over the last 20 years is that the dynamics of different relationships within families varies far and wide. Yeah. And one day I could be meeting a family where they can be trusted to do that. Another day there could be a family who would be World War III if they were left to their own devices. So yep. I think it's just a good idea just to be really specific.
Because you might get the thing, Mum said I could have that, and then she never said that to you. She said it to me, and obviously when you've got somebody's passed away, the emotions are there, and you're trying to organise funerals, and you're trying maybe sort out the assets in the house, and you're taking bits and. That is when it can all fire up because of all the emotions that are going on. So it is good to have that chair's mine, that table's yours, because it's written down in it.
Well, let's just say that that these situations can bring out both the best and the worst in people. Yeah. So forewarned is forearmed.
As you know, I always go on about my mum because she's in a wheelchair and access, and you have access into your premises so and people can get in with wheelchairs, and you also do home visits.
That's right. You know, we need to be flexible because... there are people who are disabled, and we have disabled access at our office in Saxon House in Duke Street in Chelmsford.
Yep.
But also there are some families where there are elderly couples who they can't get out of the house. So we will do home visits in those situations.
Are there circumstances where something more thorough than a basic will would be advisable?
Yes, certainly. If you're keen to keep your assets squarely within the bloodline of your family and shielded from external threats, then it might be appropriate to use trusts within your will. So, for instance, if you're concerned about protecting your children's inheritance against the threat of marriage after death, divorce and separation, but also bankruptcy and insolvency, then it would be a good idea to explore this option.
Can I just ask you, if you were to leave an amount, say, to a child and they were married, does that mean if that child dies that it automatically goes to their partner, their husband, or does it end at the child?
That's a really, really good question. The key threat there is if you have a child who gets married and then subsequently divorced, there is actually a risk of the money being disinherited without there being a more thorough will in place. So if you have a trust within your will, that can mitigate that circumstance and the one that you just mentioned.
Right, okay, yeah. Lovely. Just like to ask the questions while you're here. What is lasting power of attorneys? Because I don't know about this, and are they a good idea?
Okay, well, we've just been talking about the cheery subject of what happens when people die.
Yeah.
However, there are circumstances when people are very, very ill, but they don't die. Mm. So, for instance, with the elderly, you're talking about things like dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, but also any of us could be hit by the proverbial bus at any moment and then not die but be in a coma for the next 5 years. So in that situation, it's a really good idea to make sure that you appoint someone who you trust implicitly to manage your affairs whilst hopefully you get better.
Yeah.
So a lasting power of attorney is one such document where you can fulfill that particular requirement. But there's two types. There's one for property and financial affairs. So that gives your trusted attorney the ability to sell property, use bank accounts, cash in investments, that sort of thing. Mm. And also there's health and welfare. So you might have a loved one in a care facility and you might not be particularly happy with the manner in which they're being looked after. But you can't just go in there and pull them out and take them back home without the proper permissions, because once again the system doesn't know, can't make any assumptions about members of your family and whether they're the people that you would elect under normal circumstances to handle that. So by nominating that in a power of attorney, you can explicitly suggest that. And the reason that there's two of them, if you think about it, we've all got people that we know who are really good at handling money and financial affairs, but there's no guarantee that they might be the people that you would choose to handle things from a health and welfare perspective, or indeed vice versa. So this is just a really good way to make sure that in the event of that you're incapacitated for whatever reason, you've got people that you trust managing your affairs until you get better.
And if you were in hospital, or maybe you have a progressive disease, is there parts in the will that you can say you don't, is that where you say you don't want to be resuscitated?
Yes.
Can you put that in there as well?
You can. It's called life-sustaining treatments.
Right.
So this This means that if, I mean, I have this in my power of attorney, if I'm in a situation where I'm in a permanent vegetative state,
yeah,
and there's little or no chance of me being recovered or resuscitated, then I want the machine switched off.
Yeah,
I've said it on air. There you go.
There you go. It's on air. It's out there.
That's
now.
That's official.
Yeah.
And that takes away a very, very painful decision for the family, but also from a legal perspective, it's very helpful to the medical profession, who are in a very, very difficult position in that situation, to know what your wishes are.
If people want to find out more, because you're running a seminar.
We are, and we run them on a quarterly basis. And the next one is next Tuesday, the 6th of February. And it's 6:30 p.m. for a 7 p.m. start. And it's at the Mary Green Manor Hotel here in Brentwood. And it's just a really good environment to come and learn about estate planning, ask some questions, and then if you want to, you can follow up with a one-to-one meeting with a member of the team to find out how you can protect your family and your assets. We don't make any charge for this event, so you have nothing to lose. And to book your place, simply contact me via the website willprotect.co.uk.
It's a fantastically interesting subject, and obviously I just cannot believe there are 70% of people out there that haven't done a will. And as you said, it doesn't matter if you've got property or not, if you've got children, it's really important. It's really important. And obviously I better update mine, because well, not that I've got, I still keep saying about my jewellery, but there isn't really, it's silver, how cheap. Right, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thanks, Michelle.
Nice to meet you. And it's